Welcome to Inside the Match, where Alex and Simone talk residency applications.
We are two residents here to help you navigate the match.
For each podcast, we'll bring you residents from various specialties and backgrounds to give advice. So today we have Linda. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, it's no problem at all. Anytime.
So where are you in residency and what specialty are you in?
So I'm at residency at University of Maryland Medical Center / School of Medicine. I'm never sure what is the exact title because I just wasn't very detail oriented about that. But I'm in pathology, and specifically I'm doing both AP, CP. And for the non-pathology folks out there, that means anatomic pathology and clinical pathology.
So we'd like to start our podcast with some rapid fire questions. Were you AOA?
Nope.
Were you gold humanism?
Yes, I was.
Were you president of your specialty club?
I think I was president of the pathology student interest group. I know I was, I remember distinctly I was pathology class representative for my second year.
Were you involved in research during medical school?
I think I had like one case series that my anatomy group and I wrote up about aortic variations, and then maybe just like one or two random case reports.
That's super cool. So what parts of your ERAS application did interviewers most commonly bring up during interviews?
So I feel like the funny thing about interviews is that not everyone always reads your whole ERAS application. And so you end up driving a lot of the interviews. But for the people who did, they enjoyed bringing up things like hobbies. I talked about, you know, like I'm a big foodie and I like taking pictures of food. And so we always kind of devolved into, you know, their favorite places to eat around the area that the hospital or the residency program is in. Some people did bring up research. They saw like my CV and saw that like I was in the middle of writing an abstract with one of the pathology attendings at my home institution. And then the main thing for pathology is that attendings always ask, you know, whether or not they read your CV, your ERAS application, your personal statement is like, why are you interested in pathology and how did you find pathology? And everyone wants to hear, every single person wants to hear that story. So I got really good at, you know, kind of telling a story about how I got into it and why I'm interested and what I'm looking forward to. Because, you know, pathology is used to getting a little dumped on in terms of people who are kind of picking it as a second choice or, you know, using it as backup or just kind of going for it. And so they always want to make sure and hear that you are excited for the specialty. So if you can actually show excitement and that you're interested, that like gets your foot in the door very well.
Well, I always find pathologists to be the most knowledgeable in the hospital and people that I call when I have a problem or when I have a question. It's that and pharmacy are the two people that are underutilized but so helpful and always so nice. So, something that you said, though, that is so important for people to realize is that a lot of people won't be reading your ERAS. They'll be like walking through and, you know, meeting you on virtual Zoom, and they won't have even read it. And so it's important, like you said, to be able to bring up things that are important to you and guide the interview.
Exactly.
So did you ever get any like tough questions during the residency interview process that you'd like to share?
I think like the thing about pathology interview programs is they are super chill for the most part. I think I interviewed at 14, 15 programs because no one told me this isn't like medical school, and pathology does not require you to interview at so many programs, especially if you're a US grad. But it was, you know, some of the harder questions for the ones that were a little more intense. I think one of the programs I interviewed at used kind of that MMI, standardized interview questions that ask about behavioral things, like, you know, tell me about a challenge that you overcame, and, you know, that kind of stuff. You always try to, you know, kind of like with med school interviews, you kind of know a little bit of a story that you had a hard time and how you overcame it, you know, try to sell yourself and be inspiring. Same thing with like the what's your greatest weakness thing. That came up occasionally when they really don't know what to ask you. And you talk about, you know, for me, I was like, I'm afraid of confrontation. But, you know, of course, the way to kind of deal with that question is also you're selling yourself the whole time. You know, I would say, you know, I'm afraid of confrontation. And because of that, you know, like I do my best to kind of approach difficult situations by trying to understand both sides and staying calm and having an open mind and being empathetic. You know, just it, all about those difficult questions is keep your calm. It's always okay to like pause for a moment and think, and then just do your best to sell yourself. And for those kind of like, what's the greatest challenge and what's the greatest weakness? Those are super common, difficult questions. So just be ready to kind of spring on those. And again, be ready to tell your story specifically for pathology of why you're interested in pathology. Like get a nice short and sweet summary of your story and what got you interested and, you know, what you think you're interested in. Though it's absolutely okay not to know what you want to go into. That was me too, so.
And it's also important, like you said, to realize that you need to be comfortable in silence. Like a lot of people love to use these filler words, and those are not helpful. You just want to take a moment, like you said, to think and just say, let me think about it, and then provide an answer similar to the way that you responded to some of these tough questions. Mm-hmm. So, you know, sometimes we also get inappropriate questions on the interview trail, and these can make us really uncomfortable and unaware how to respond. So how did you deal with these questions if you were to get any on the trail?
I mean, thankfully, pretty much all of my interviews, barring one, were really lovely. All the attendings were super kind, super nice. It just, the thing about what I felt like, even if some of these MMI interviews, is they were kind of a conversation. They just wanted to chat with you, get a feel for your personality. So most of the times I didn't really experience like really difficult, inappropriate questions. But in the one case that, you know, I did experience, there was one of the attendings, I don't know if he was in the mood that day, but he basically was like, so, why do you want to come to our program? Why not this program next door? Or this other really famous program also next door? Or that other program? Why ours? And it was like very confrontational. And you know, the key thing for that, again, stay calm, stay collected. And my tip for most interviewees, and I know it gets a little bit tough the deeper into interview season you go because you just really don't want to do the extra work anymore, is try to get at least one or two things about each residency program that really interest you. And so this was one of my first interviews, and I had looked into the faculty members and what their research was, and I saw one, I was like, okay, that guy has some research I could be interested in. And so, you know, when this guy kind of like shot this question at, different guy, the, you know, the attending shot this question at me, I was like, oh, well, you know, this other attending has some really fascinating public health research, and I'm really passionate about that, you know, like my master's in public health, and I would really love to work with him on this project. And then, you know, that kind of really smoothed the rest of the interview out. His tone completely changed, and he seemed a lot less defensive about things. So that's, you know, that's the way I would kind of go about it. Like that was the most difficult question I had to deal with for the most part. Granted, I really don't think that happens most of the time, and it definitely really turned me off that program. But for the most part, path interviews are very kind, I found.
Yes. And like you said, the research component is key. You need to be able to look at a website, look at a social media page. Be aware that there's a lot of information out there about a program. So being able to engage with the interviewer in things that you know about, they're going to think you're even more invested.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Because the more you know about the program, like I think there've been a couple, so I'm one of the chief residents in my program, and my chief and I try to make it to every single kind of like resident interview to meet the candidates. And there've been some candidates who really seemed to know our Twitter page, which I was very surprised by, because that was just like a pet project that my co-chief and I just kind of launched off the ground. But it's kind of like, oh, like you are interested. It gives you that little warm, fuzzy feeling inside. So it does make a little bit of a difference. Not that our opinions are super, super influential, but you know, it's fun, you know?
So, you know, a lot of the times every applicant gets overwhelmed you when you meet with the program director, and they ask you if you have any questions at the end of the time that you talk. So what questions would you advise an applicant to ask of a program director during an interview?
So definitely have questions, not just for the program director. Have a list of questions ready for every single interviewer you're with. And one of the things I just want to emphasize in addition is it's okay to repeat questions between interviewers. Like, I know I had a small list of questions I asked for every single person, because not only is it interesting to see the different responses, but they're not going to know you asked the same question. So it just looks like you're staying engaged and active and interested, because nothing's more awkward than not having any questions and sitting in silence. And, you know, even on, you know, our, like, before I kind of realized that, even on my side, I made the mistake of not doing that at my home institution, because, you know, I was just like, well, I know everything about my home institution. But then at least you could just talk about normal personal things. But that was because it was my home institution. But yes, always feel free to ask the same questions. Now, specifically for program director, because they're going to have a lot of insight into things that are going on, I would ask, you know, what are some recent changes they made to the program, or are some upcoming plan changes for the program? Because that kind of shows you what direction they're going in, maybe what they've been prioritizing, maybe it'll hint at some things they've been having trouble with, but they're trying to adapt to. Another thing to ask the program director is, because this person is who you're going to be interacting with as a resident, most of the time. And so how does the program handle resident feedback, and what are the methods of resident feedback? That way you can get a feel for, you know, do they seem to listen to residents? Do they seem to handle their concerns in a constructive way? And then specifically for pathology, you know, there's a lot of variety in terms of how different programs handle anatomic pathology with clinical pathology. And so it's really nice to get an idea of how are those two specialties balanced with each other in training, how hands-on are they, how hands-off are they, just so you know for your priorities, if you have an idea about what you want to do in pathology, if it's a good fit for you.
Yeah, those are great tips about asking a program director. And as a chief resident and someone who has attended residency interviews with applicants, I think you're the person to ask this question to. So I was wondering, you know, what would you advise applicants ask resident physicians when it comes to learning about a program?
I think, again, just be ready to have questions, because, again, nothing more awkward than sitting there. I've been lucky. All the people I've sat in a Zoom interview so far with have been very engaging. They've been ready with questions. But I know my other co-chief has had situations where they're like, it's kind of like pulling teeth. So just be ready. Repeat the questions. It doesn't matter. But, you know, the residents are where you can kind of get the meat of the details. And we don't really, like, report back, oh, this person seems like blah, 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 or, you know, because we're just, you know, we want you guys to find the best fit possible as well. So, you know, the residents can give you a really good answer about what are the strengths and weaknesses of the program. You also can ask the question of how does the program handle resident feedback and what's the methods. It's similar to the program director question, but it's good to see it from the resident's point of view, because you never know. The program director might think everything's perfectly fine, and then the residents might be like, oh, well, you know, this is technically how we do it, but it's not like great or something like that. So you get a good idea. You can ask people how, you know, what drew you to this program. You know, we've had that questions a couple times, and I think it offers, at least for me, an opportunity to kind of, you know, show off what I love about the program. You can ask them, this was a good question someone asked recently, of what would you change about the program? And so it's kind of like, you know, the greatest weakness question that you get asked as an interviewee. But, you know, it's kind of like things that you acknowledge the program has difficulty with, but you know, the way I turn it around is, you know, these are ways that the program has been addressing it. And so that's always a good thing to look at. Like, if they just say, yeah, this is challenging about the program, but nothing's being done, you can get an idea of what's going on. Let's see. Always ask about the living situation. It's always nice to hear from the residents about what their living situation is like, how easy it is, how hard it is. Learning more about the city that your program is in. I know a lot of people specifically are always very nervous about Baltimore, and I like trying to dispel any myths about the difficulties of Baltimore. It's not the wire. And then, of course, you know, what's the work-life balance? Because it will really vary by program, by specialty. So it's always important to get that question in. You know, I think it's important for whatever your priorities are for when you're picking a program. And then specifically for pathology, you know, you ask, what is the surgical pathology work cycle like? So when are you grossing? When are you previewing? When are you signing out? Is it a 1-day cycle versus a 3-day cycle? Things like that. Then you ask them, you know, how many pathology assistants do you have? And that kind of goes into the next question of, do residents handle all the biopsies and non-cancer specimens, or do they get to focus more on the harder cancer specimens? That kind of shows you how much support the residents have and how much more busy work versus learning. I mean, I don't want to say it quite like that because, you know, non-cancer specimens and biopsies are important too, but, you know, you do get more bang from your buck for cancer cases. Then additionally, it's like, how much time do you have to preview cases? Because are you just kind of like organizing the slides and then like coming in the next morning having no idea what was going on? Or do you have enough time to think about the cases, kind of take ownership of the cases? And then I think, how much graduated responsibility do you have? Like, does the program eventually trust you to write down diagnoses, your preliminary diagnoses, order stains, like kind of take ownership of the cases? Because you really learn best through doing cases on your own. And then additionally, if you're thinking about having kids during residency, because it's not a bad time, depending on the program, like how family friendly is the program? That's a good thing to ask the residents as well.
Those are phenomenal questions to ask, and that is such a slew of questions that you would be prepared for any length of time going into that interview or that virtual dinner with that resident. They would be very impressed if you brought along that list. So what played a role in your decision when you were ranking residency programs in January and February?
So for me, I knew I would be in the DC area because my husband, for the longest time, we knew that he'd be working for the government. And so we pretty much were focusing on the East Coast, and I was hoping that I would like the schools in the DMV area. But I did do East Coast just in case, you know, long distance can work. But, you know, luckily I did two away rotations. I did one at Hopkins, one at University of Maryland, and I got interviews at Georgetown and George Washington. Ultimately, you know, I came to Baltimore for undergrad, my master's, left for medical school, so I was more than happy to come back. And I really loved both away rotations I did at Hopkins and University of Maryland. And then it was just a matter of, like, when it came to making the rest of my rank list, it's kind of like, how did I feel? Like, did I feel like I jived with the residents? Do I feel like there was a good feeling of camaraderie between the attendings and the interviewees and the residents as well? How much did I get to see the residents? Because that kind of gave you an idea of how busy they are and how much of a say, that, or at least their opinion, their say about the applicants and what role they play in the decision-making about their future colleagues. So that, I'm a very like people person, and I knew I wanted to go to a program where I felt like I could get along and was a good community for me. And so that, in addition to location, played a huge role in my rank list.
Well, you've provided some awesome tips for those that are not only going into pathology, but for all specialties. So I'm wondering if there's anything else that you would like to offer about the application or the residency interview process.
I just want to emphasize, at least for me, because of course everyone's experiences are slightly different, the pathology interview trail, have fun with it. Like, people are really nice, didn't have many negative experiences. I kind of feel bad that people don't get to travel and experience the cities, but it is saving everyone money at least. So that's nice, hopefully. And just remember, they're interviewing you, but you're also interviewing them. That's also equally important. Like, you want to make sure that you are finding the program that best fits you. And kind of that segues into my next point, which is like, make a list of what are the things that are important to you about a residency program. You know, is it primarily location or closeness to family, like it kind of was for me? Is it more like, are you really research driven and you want to make sure you have access to great research resources and attendings and time for research? Do you want a work-life balance? Are you, you know, more chill about that? That's kind of more what I was like. Do you want a well-rounded AP-CP training, or do you want more AP, or do you want more CP? Because those are very different programs. Are you already knowing that you are going in looking at a specific subspecialty, especially the more competitive ones like dermatopathology? And I think neuropathology is much more specialized too. You want to make sure you look for a program that kind of, it can channel you into those subspecialties that are very, very competitive. So I think it's really important to kind of keep your goals in mind while you are making those choices, because, you know, once you go in, it can be kind of hard to switch if you're not in a setting that allows you to be flexible.
So true. And you have provided such great insight on this entire process. No wonder you're a chief resident. So we like to end a podcast with having you share a fun fact. So Linda, can you share something about yourself?
Well, I am an avid foodie. I love the city of Baltimore, and I have two cats. Pathology is a very cat-friendly specialty, but we do welcome all pets. And additionally, just in general, to any listeners, if anyone's curious about pathology, curious about living in Baltimore, feel free to reach out. People can find me on my Twitter. And then also I have a food Instagram if they're curious about the food scene in Baltimore. But really, like, I just want to make sure people have good luck on the trail, feel comfortable. I know it can be a little dicier for other specialties. I've heard some interesting stories about the more competitive ones, but for pathology, I really hope everyone has a good experience and, you know, don't let things really worry you too much.
Oh, well, yummy. On the move for food sounds like a great Instagram account to follow. So that's where I'm off to next.
Oh, thank you.
That's all the time we have today with Linda. Thanks for joining us at Inside the Match. Special thanks to Kevin McCloyd for the music, and be sure to follow or subscribe to our podcast. Catch our next podcast to learn more application tips and hear from another awesome resident.